You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And last week, we talked about parents and their marriage and how pans tends to impact the marriage. But today, we're going to talk about the individuals who are in the marriage and how pans tends to impact mental health, feelings of isolation, feelings of overwhelm for the parents who are having to deal with it. So again, this is another one that is Jody heavy-ish, although I will say right up front that Jody obviously can only speak to her own personal experience or by extension, the experience that she's heard from the people that she has become friends with or the people that we have worked with at Resilience Naturopathic. And so I'm here to give a little bit of a broader fill in the gaps for what Jody doesn't have from her own personal experience, from what I've seen with the folks who I've worked with as well. So Jody, before we got started recording, we were talking about how you weren't sure that you were going to do a very good job at this. And I had to jump in to remind you that, again, that it's your personal experience. Why don't you share what your personal experience was? Because I think we just had some really, really big insight to something.
Well, I feel like there's definitely like a spectrum of how we can respond to pans. And I feel like I was so far on one side of the spectrum that I just like completely and totally shut down like everything, the biggest thing that I can remember is whenever Avery had her onset, I just had a feeling of shock, and that feeling of shock just kept growing and growing and growing. And every day it got worse. It got worse for like 4 or 5 months. And I felt like my body and my brain were just in a state of like frozen. And I couldn't have, I just completely walled off. I had no emotion whatsoever. I remember one time during Avery having all of her, like everything that was going on, there was one specific time where I broke down and I just had a big, huge cry. To me, it felt super, super uncomfortable and I didn't ever want to do it again. Just because I've always been a like emotionally quiet person. And my response was to literally stuff every emotion, every feeling, like all of that. I just kept stuffing it down and stuffing it down and almost kind of like laughing my way through things. But now looking back, it wasn't healthy, right? I was just trying to laugh through things and make it through things and just shove down the emotions and the feelings that were happening. To me, I felt like I was great. Like, I'm like, ooh, I'm doing this. Like, I'm just trucking on. We're taking care of things. We're getting things done. And I felt this immense sorrow, but like extremely numb and not just numb to what was going on right there, like completely numb to the entire world. I don't need, like, I just shut everything off. Like my interactions with people, my connections with people, my connections with my husband, I just shut it all down because that was the easiest thing for me to do.
Yeah. And one of the things that we touched on was that your emotions almost in some ways felt like a threat to, you know, like you had so much happening around you that if you added your emotions to the mix, that was going to be like the straw that broke the camel's back. Yeah. Right. And on top of that, like, let's just add in the other topics that we're talking about today, aside from just like mental health and like emotions, like the feelings of overwhelm and isolation that come as just a part of dealing with pans, because let's just face it, pans for somebody who is an extroverted sensory seeking type of person is still going to be a lot, right? Because you're going to be and dealing with the rage that your kids are going to have, the movements that they're going to make, the noises they're going to make, the anxiety, the constantly needing to be with you, the their sensitivity to everything in the surroundings is going to make you hyper alert to everything that's going on in the surroundings. And so that's itself is just exhausting and tiring. And so when you take in all of those things, you start to feel like you need to control as much as you possibly can. And so it almost leads to inevitably a sense of isolation, whether you want it or not, you know, in some ways, because some ways people choose isolation because they want to just not have to deal with any of those extra things. But in some ways it also comes because you just can't deal with any of those things. And people just, unless you are connecting with people who understand Pans Pandas, a lot of people aren't going to understand what you're experiencing too.
Yeah.
So it's not just, it's like your emotions are a threat, and like, there's just anything else that you add on to the top of what you're already like the bare minimum of what you have no choice but to deal with feels extra.
Yeah. And it felt like everyone was losing it, which I think we all were losing it because we were all sick. But it felt, you're very right about that is, you know, Avery wasn't okay. My younger daughter wasn't okay. My husband was, you know, was not okay having his own struggles. It felt like if I didn't keep control of myself and keep a lid on my emotions, that we all might just like completely go up in a tornado of out of control, and who would be driving the bus. And also, I love that you said control, because that was, I had control of nothing during that time, but I did have control of keeping my emotions at bay. So maybe that was me like grasping onto bits of control, but also like trying to control what was going on. It was chaos.
And so much of our own suffering in any situation, Pans or not, so much of our own suffering comes from trying to control things that are just not really in our control. Which is most things in life, right? There's most things we just cannot control. We can just make our best decision with the information we have and move forward. And so much suffering comes from trying to control the uncontrollable. And so it absolutely, you're not alone with parents who will grasp on anything you feel like you can control, even if it's not something that is the healthiest thing. And so whatever our tendency toward coping strategies we tend to use can become excessive, which, you know, and many coping strategies that are healthy can become unhealthy if used in excess, right? So exercising to cope with stress is great until you're exercising 6 hours a day, and then it's disordered. You know, eating a healthy diet is great to help cope with stress until you reach the point that you're basically in orthorexia or having a disordered eating because of the rigidity that you're experiencing, that kind of thing. So
I think you see me thinking.
I do see you thinking.
I think there's a lot of different flavors of kind of losing it. And I'm going to say that a little bit wrong, I think, but I think we is a parent going through this. I don't think there's any of us can keep it all buttoned together. I think we all lose ourselves in this. I think we all, and what that looks like is very, very different. I lost myself quietly. I think some people lose themselves in a much more outward way than I did. And when I say lose themselves, I mean like just a trauma response, like how they respond to what's going on with their kids. And so, you know, I know there's moms that I've talked to that are like literally telling me I'm going crazy. I'm yelling and screaming at everyone. I'm yelling at my kid. Everything is just insane, and I can't keep it in. I can't, like, everything is coming out on everyone. And I think that there's, I mean, probably even more ways of, I just don't think any of us are okay through it. Nobody can be okay through that. And I think it's a matter of just like figuring out what works for our kids is finding what works for us going through it. You know, there were little things that helped me get through it. And, kind of get my mind back to an okay space when I was feeling like completely alone or completely just devastated or out of it or whatever the emotion was. There was little tiny things that I found that I was able to do to help my kind of recenter myself. And I think that's part of the journey, is all of us parents figuring out the little things that we can do to help ourselves through it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about like the typical journey that we see with parents, emotional and mental health. So when you first are confronted with PANS, most people are feeling confusion and fear. Because especially if you have the stereotypical onset where it's a really rapid, like your kid's fine today and 2 weeks from now, your kid is completely controlled by their tics and their OCD and their rage and they cannot sleep and they're wetting the bed and all of the things that come with PANS and PANDAS. But even if you're not in that space where you had the sudden onset, if you had the gradual onset or the onset that you can tell in retrospect happened at a certain time, but, you know, had episodes that you maybe were dismissed for or even dismissed yourself. So usually that's like that confusion, that fear, mm-hmm. frustration is going to come about, with your family and your child who has PANS, as well as the medical community that you're likely going to get some help that probably doesn't have answers, or might even if you come and say, I think this might be PANS, that they say that's not a real thing and then start looking at you sideways. So, and like I said, most people are going to feel like frustration with their children too, because until you know for sure that this is something that they can't control, it feels controllable. And you're like, why can't you just do this? Like, what, you could do this a week ago. Why can't you just do this now? What is going on? So after that sort of like confusion, fear, frustration, and when you start to figure out what's going on, guilt comes in for a lot of people. Because then, especially for the time period that you might have been a little bit more frustrated and maybe a little bit harder on your kiddo than you now realize, once you've gotten a clear understanding of what's going on, you might feel, oh, that wasn't very fair of me, or I feel badly because I was treating them as if they could control this and I understand now that they can't. And so having guilt come on is a pretty common experience for parents. Wow. And then as they're going through, especially people before they get to homeopathy and start to see slow, gradual improvements that are reversing the trajectory that they were used to, there's a lot of disappointments, and that can lead to increasing frustration and depression and anxiety and grief. These are all things that the grief comes on for most people at some point, because parenthood is not what they expected it to be. It's not what they wanted it to be. They feel grief for their child too, who is missing out on all sorts of things that you want for them for their childhood, because they're caught in the grips of PANS and all of the compulsions and the rituals and the fears and everything that they are unable to do because they just can't interact with their world the way that a quote unquote typical kid could. And just the longer you live in a place with fear and with some sadness, and then just getting to the place where you're so depleted because of the amount of time that you spend managing somebody else's instability, and then also looking for solutions for that instability, it just takes from you. And so you get increasingly fatigued, and your personal resources to help you maintain like a level head and a cheerful mood, it's just not there. And so a lot of parents end up depressed and anxious, having a certain amount of anger. And sometimes to the point that it's actually diagnosable as like a clinically significant experience. And so it could be diagnosed as like major depressive disorder or an anxiety disorder or panic disorder. We talked in episode 17 about PANS PTSD. I don't know that anybody actually gets diagnosed with PTSD unless they've got a kiddo who's threatened their lives, have gotten to like that level of aggressiveness. But you still have trauma from this because it's ongoing all day, every day, managing all of the symptoms for your kiddo not finding solutions or having something that helps for a little bit, but then doesn't help anymore, and seeing things just continue to progress. Am I missing anything in that general trajectory that we see?
No, but as you list everything out, I'm like, oh, like one thing I can for sure say is that the way that I did it is like, I felt like I was doing the safest thing for everyone, myself, not feeling all the feelings, my family, I was keeping things together for everyone. But once Avery got healed, I spent a good, it was like after that, when all of it started coming, like I had to process through all of that. And so I stayed in a space where I was not okay for quite a bit after Avery, and luckily, you know, homeopathy's helped me through my own working through of all of that. And, but man, walling myself off and not feeling anything felt so safe at the time. But it eventually I felt it all. And I think I'm still feeling it all, and I might feel it all a little bit forever, but as time goes by, it gets a lot easier to, I guess, kind of process my own emotions and be okay with feeling even the things that I felt back then.
Yeah. And so, you know, we do need to acknowledge that there are some people that are going to be like you, that are going to feel all of those things. And the minute it shows up, they shove it down and find a way to like superpower through it and to like armor up and let's go and try to be the bright, bubbly person. And you think, you know, it's almost like a codependent type of behavior where you feel like you have the ability to control how other people feel and how other people act and respond. And that you're always trying to like do whatever you can to make things perfect, to like compensate for however this isn't working or this isn't working or this isn't working. And so there's some of that too. So sometimes people will look like super, like they've got it all together. They're super happy, super cheerful. I honestly, I'm trying to think of the people who I've worked with, and there are some people who have a generally better attitude about things than others, but I will say that most of them, it only really starts to shine through after there's been a certain amount of healing with homeopathy. Especially like, I mean, how I just, it's, you'd have to be like the most Zen person to go through all of the things that you go through as a PANS parent and not have any negative emotions showing up. I think one thing that comes to mind is to, especially when it comes to isolation, I think one of the ways that parents deal with isolation when they're going through this is finding online communities, because many times you can't really get out of your house. You're, you know, a lot of families are homebound as a result of PANS. And so finding an online community, both to learn more about this, to get resources, to see what worked for other people, but also to just connect about the struggles that you're going through on a daily basis. It can be hard to just like anything with social media in particular, like we all have a tendency to like put our best or our worst face forward, right? So we put our best face forward for like the public facing thing, but then like our special little group, sometimes we put our worst face forward and just go and we're like really struggling. And oh my gosh, how do I do this? I need help. And so the reality for most people is probably somewhere in between those two, right? And so remembering that people are coming in like either end of those, that spectrum, like they're showing their best or they're showing their worst. There's not a whole lot of like, here's the messy middle. And here's like, here's what it looks like on a decent day, but not like a terrible, but not like a great day, but also not terrible. And so remembering when you're interacting with people too, that like people are coming from whichever state they happen to be in is when they're most likely to be engaging in social media. Any advice that you have, other than obviously you're going to tell people to do homeopathy themselves? I will say I'm just going to say it for you because you say it every time on every episode. I will say that if somebody has, so homeopathy is not only effective for PANS pandas. We're about to get into a couple of episodes where we're really just diving into a lot of nitty gritty about homeopathy. And then we're going to have a lot of details about homeopathy in future episodes as well. Homeopathy is not only effective for PANS and pandas. We talk about that specifically in this podcast because this is what the topic of the podcast is, but homeopathy is effective for almost anything that is considered dynamic disease. And we'll talk about that more, like I said, in a future episode. So if you have like clinically diagnosed, you know, major depressive disorder, and clinical anxiety disorder, panic disorder, anything like that, homeopathy can still be effective. If you've got other things going on with your body as well, homeopathy can likely help. So it's not something that you say, oh, this is only going to be helpful for my kid with PANS. I don't have PANS, so it's not going to be useful for me. It still could be to help you even with really serious things that you might have going on.
What advice did I have? I say this every time we talk about this, is that I'm like the worst person to give advice to parents on how to like care for themselves through this, because I feel like I did such a poor job. But I do think that like most of us fail at self-care, but if it like just finding little tiny things, like little moments, whether it's walking around the block, whether it's, anything like something small, like, hey, mom, can you come do the laundry? Or, hey, neighbor, can you help me with this? Or asking for help. I did not ask for help because I don't like to bother people. And now I think that's hilarious. I think, or not hilarious, kind of sad that we were going through such a traumatic, awful thing. And I didn't ask anyone for help. And there was people that wanted to help me, but I didn't want to bring them into our kind of crazy fold that we have going on. Anything, going outside and watering your plants, talking to a friend, getting, you know, any way that you can possibly give yourself a break. If you have the ability to do therapy for yourself, I feel like that would have been a really fantastic thing to do through it. And then of course, homeopathy, because that has just impacted both my husband and I so much, so incredibly much, not just from what was going on with when Avery had her onset, everything, life, from literally beginning of life until now, it has helped us work through so much stuff, mental, physical, all the above. But definitely try and do something to give yourself a break, going through all of it.
Yeah. You will not solve everything PANS pandas by not sitting down for even 10 minutes mm-hmm. at a time. Like, it is not going to irrevocably turn things to the worse and like make it so that your child will never recover if you take 10 to 30 minutes a day for yourself to relax, rest, turn your brain off, whatever it is that you need to do. So, all right. Anything else that you want to say before we wrap on this, these topics about like impacts on relationships and family and mental health and all of that?
I don't think I have anything else.
Okay.
This was, like I said, this one's a tough one for me. I was so bad at it.
Well, in the next episode, we're going to talk a little bit more, going to go back to a little bit more of like the nitty gritty stuff. We're going to talk some about PANS and detox and environmental health. We've touched on it in a few other episodes, but we're going to make sure we have one episode exclusively devoted to that. So we'll catch you guys there. Take care, everybody.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for PANS and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for PANS and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.